Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Financial planning and investment advice is offered through Friedman Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, a member of FINRA and SIPC. Friedman Financial is a separate entity from LPL Financial. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planner professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you. Listeners to this radio show should consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company carefully before investing. Prospectus contains this and other information about the mutual fund, variable annuity, and variable annuity subaccounts. To obtain a prospectus, you may contact Friedman Financial or your financial advisor. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making a potential investment. And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. It is, get this, it is October 25th. Sunday, 8 a.m., and I'm actually in the studio here in Beverly. That's right. You know, I was sitting here in this big studio. I haven't been here since March, and it looks like the whole place hasn't been here since March because the calendar of events that are going on, as I look over here to the right, is still the March calendar. So I'm delighted to be here in studio. It feels kind of weird as I'm sitting in the big studio here, Studio A. I keep forgetting how uneven the floor is here because as I sit on my chair, I keep rolling away on this floor mat here. So I have to kind of hold myself to the table. But it is great, great to be here. Once again, my name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, 41 Cross Street, right across the street from the North Shore Mall, and right above the soon, very, very soon to be reopening Daniela's restaurant. Let's get this. Next week, I got a special guest for you. Daniela has agreed to join me on next week's show so she can tell you all about the great stuff that's going to be happening at Daniela's. I think their opening day is going to be somewhere around the second week of November. And she is coming in to talk to you to get you excited. It's, you know, look, Daniela's Cafe in Danvers, they're still staying. They're not going anywhere. Palana in Peabody, not going anywhere. But Daniela's restaurant going to be opened up right underneath where Friedman Financial is. I understand they'll be opening for dinner first and then soon to be opening for lunch as well. I know that's going to be my regular spot. It's certainly during the work week. Anyways, normally, as many of you know, I tape this show on like Wednesday or Thursday, and then my producer Jay puts it all together and he shares it with you on Sunday, even though I might tell you, hey, it's a beautiful morning and sunny morning on Sunday. I'm faking y'all out. It's usually Wednesday. But today, I'm really here in the studio. And the reason that I'm here is this week, there was so much stuff going on with a debate lined up for Thursday, the discussion of a stimulus package potentially being rolled out for the end of the week. I didn't want to start taping a show and then sound irrelevant on Sunday. So I decided I'd come here in the studio. Well, turns out the debate was far different from debate number one, wasn't it? It was certainly much more normal, if you will. It was civil. I actually thought it was one of the more enjoyable debates I've watched over, I think, probably the past 10 years when you think about other presidential debates that have happened. I think both candidates scored their points. They both got a little angry at one another. They both were a little testy back and forth. But I think each of them made the points they wanted to make, and I think they both did well. Was there a winner coming out of that debate? You know, I hate to see when these stations, the networks, whatever, all try to figure out who won the debate. Who cares who won the debate? Was that really what it was about? It was to find a winner and a loser of the debate? No. If I'm a candidate, I want to make sure that my message got out there, that I handled myself appropriately, that I didn't shoot myself in the foot too many times. And I think each of the candidates might have shot themselves in the foot once or twice, but they all kind of balance out and such. And in reality, folks, with voting available, when were we able to vote? Starting in May, maybe? I mean, this whole early voting thing seems to be just insane to me, my own personal opinion. Look, I believe if you want to vote, and I think everybody should vote, and I think it's extraordinary that we're going to have so many people voting, I think early voting should be maybe a 2-week window. But this whole month beforehand thing, how can you vote and then still allow debates and national exchanges to go on between the candidates? I don't know that that's the right thing to do. But we will see. Look, we all live here in Massachusetts. We all know what the outcome of how Massachusetts will end up voting. It's not about how your personal vote is, what your personal vote was. It's really about what the state is going to do. And I think we all know what the state outcomes are going to be for most of the states. And so I have this report that comes to me. I'm not sure whether it was J.P. Morgan or Goldman Sachs, or it's just an email that I have here in front of me. And what it really talks about is these elections. The election's going to be a week from Tuesday. And it's really going to come down to this, folks. It's going to come down to just a couple states. How you and I vote in Massachusetts, and we should vote. But you and I both know the decision's already been made. The decision's been made in many, many states. But I thought what was interesting is that it's basically going to come down to Florida and Pennsylvania. In Florida and Pennsylvania, they are going to decide, I believe, the outcome of this election. And in fact, the report that I have here from J.P. Morgan is that Florida is the path to a Trump victory. If Trump doesn't win Florida, it's just done and Biden wins the election. But if Trump does win Florida, all of a sudden anything becomes possible. In fact, the report here says that Trump has 64 different ways to win this election. Biden, they believe, has 104 different types of combinations to win the election. And that's because we already know which states are going to vote blue and which are red. And then there's all, of course, the toss-up states, or the leaning right or the leaning left states. So when you look at all of the combinations and you do the analytics around it, Trump has 64 different combinations in which he can win this election, and Biden has 104. Here's the thing. Biden only needs 11% of those chances to go through Florida. In order for Biden to win this election, there's 104 ways to win. Only 11% of them include him having to win Florida. But Trump, who has 64 possibilities of combinations of these toss-up states, he has 64 different possible combinations to win, but 91% of those ways require him to win Florida. So that's how important Florida is for Trump. And then I think Pennsylvania becomes the next big one. So it'll be really interesting. I mean, if you're leaning one way or another and you have friends in Florida and friends in Pennsylvania and they have yet to vote, make sure they get out there and vote. This is going to be big, folks. I mean, look, I think we all know that that if Trump wins the election, and my personal feeling is right now, I think, does he have a chance? Sure, but I really think the sentiment heads towards a Biden victory right now. I think if Trump wins, the screaming that will come to reshift the Electoral College will be massive, because we all know, I mean, there's no question about it. There's not even an argument that that Biden will win the popular vote of this election in this country. It won't even be close. I don't even believe it'll be close. Biden will win by a landslide on the popular vote. But it's the Electoral College that decides the outcome of this election. And if Trump does win, I think all of a sudden you will see an enormous outcry to make a change to the Electoral College. But here's something that's very interesting as it comes to elections. You know, there's been a tremendous effort on behalf of the media, on behalf of celebrities, on behalf of a lot of folks to make sure that people get out and vote. I mean, whether it was baseball games, basketball games, whether it's celebrities on television, everything that we do is we need to vote. Everybody has a right to vote and everybody should get out there to vote. And a lot of that is being inspired and pushed by the younger generation. A lot of the college kids are, we got to get out. We got to make the vote. We got to do this. So here's something that's very interesting. And it's something that happens a lot. You know, you'll find a lot of people that are advocates and rally starters on college campuses to really go ahead and do these initiatives. And they get loud and they show up with their signs and they march the streets and they protest and they scream and yell. Well, My son Noah and my son Jerry are both at colleges right now. And they opted to, because here in Massachusetts, we had the opportunity to mail in, to get a mail-in ballot. We did take advantage of that because they were going off to schools. They signed up, signed for their ballot, and it got mailed to school. So I'm talking to Noah yesterday. And I, because he was asking, Dad, when's the ballot coming? And last week the ballot came. So I said, Noah, I said, so did you vote? He says, you know, I probably should do that. I think that ballot's somewhere here in my backpack. And so the example of that, and Jerry was the same way. He says, yeah, I got the ballot, but I'm not so sure where it is now. And so I think it's going to be fascinating to find out how many young folks requested that mail-in ballot, that they said they wanted people to get out and vote. But the number of people who requested the ballot versus the ballots that actually get submitted, I think that is going to be a fascinating number to see. And, you know, I'm encouraging my kids, guys, find the ballot. Vote. I don't care who you vote for. It doesn't matter to me. I just want you to vote. Yet on the other hand, I've got my 22-year-old daughter who has never voted before in her life. She works in Rhode Island. She just started working there, but she's a registered voter here in Massachusetts. And she is coming home this morning after she wakes up, and I'm going to meet her at Town Hall in North Andover. And we are going to go in and vote together. She has never voted before in her life, but she believes that it's important that she votes. So I think that's great. I mean, that she's doing this, but that's 22 years old. She's out of college now. She's feeling this sense of responsibility. She's starting to make a, she's earning a paycheck. She's having to pay expenses. Mom and dad aren't covering all of her costs for her anymore. But still, these college kids, I hope that as fervent as they've been, If they've really been out there trying to encourage people to get out the vote and express their opinions, I want to make sure that they actually finish the job. They cross that finish line and show up and vote. But if they don't, we've got to figure out a way to understand why and what is that lesson. Because the framework, look, what happened, I will tell you this. I don't believe that the stock market, and that's what a lot of people ask me, Mark, what's the stock market going to do if Trump wins or if Biden wins? Folks, it doesn't matter right now. It does not matter. You do not need to be fearful. You need not need to be running to make changes to your 401k portfolio. You don't need to be cashing out your accounts or investing in the market, whatever direction you want to go in. It's not going to matter. Whoever wins this election in November wins the election. Now, if Biden wins in November, nothing's happening until January anyway, so we've got a lame duck session between November and January. Nothing is happening. It will be all pure speculation. All speculation. And then the first year of a Biden presidency, if he wins, how much do you really think change is going to happen? Now, the only way that change does happen, the only way that it really does happen is if we get a blue wave, that Biden wins the election and the Senate flips blue. So that means you got the House that's Democratic, the Senate that's Democratic, and the White House that's Democratic. Now, even if that happens, even if it does happen, what do you think? The light switch is going to go on January 20th that all of a sudden the world's going to change? No. No, we're going to be just fine, folks. But this is not the end of the world. It is actually going to be just a different experience. That's all. But if we know anything else, we have been through financial crises. We've been through changes of presidencies, whether they've been Republican, Democratic, more left-leaning, more right-leaning. We've had all different types of combinations in the House and the Senate. And you know what? America has survived. America has been successful. America has been fabulous and growing and strong and resilient. And that is what we will continue to be. That's what America is all about. That's what we do. We find ways to adapt no matter the situation. So don't let a Biden victory or a Trump victory scare you. Don't let it, especially if it's about the economy, if it's about your 401k. Because look, at the end of the day, all of us are going to want to retire at some point. All of us are going to want to say, you know what? I don't want the paycheck anymore. I want to be able to grab my Social Security, my pension if it's available, and use the resources of the assets that I have developed. I want to be able to do that. We need to be able to rely on the strength of America, the strength of this nation, and the strength of all other nations. Because, folks, the real growth, the real opportunity here isn't just here in America, but it's in all the other countries outside of America. And it's interesting that none of us ever talk about it. All we talk about is blue and red and Carolina and Montana and North Dakota and New York and California. Folks, there is a world that is far more progressive than what we are here in America. And nobody wants to talk about it. Nobody wants to talk about what's happening. If you go anywhere outside of this country, you go to anywhere in Europe, you go to India, you go to Russia, you go to South America, they know about what's going on in America, but they also know what's going on in China and in Brazil and in Russia and in France and in everywhere else. We don't. We put these blinders up. And that's problematic, folks. We need to learn what else is going on out there. And so when we get back, I'm going to take a break in a minute. I want to share with you some statistics. And I think I shared with these statistics like 3 or 4 weeks ago. And these statistics have grown even more prominent. It's statistics about this virus, this coronavirus, that we're trying to manage here in America. But we're not quite wrapping our arms around how it's being managed outside of America. And what's going on in some of these other countries? And I think when you hear some of these statistics, you're going to be really surprised. All right, when we get back, we're going to talk about that. But before we run, let me remind you of our newsletter that comes out each and every Friday. It lands in your mailbox, right into your inbox, every Friday morning at 10:30. All you need to do is go to my website, friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman. To E's and a D, financial.com, go to the bottom of any page on the website, put in your name, your email address, and you will be joined by the 7,500 other subscribers that get this newsletter. And I think you're really going to enjoy it. It's financial advice in a language you can understand. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Get ready for the colder weather with Agway of Danvers. We're stocked and deliver seasoned firewood with 4 types of wood pellets, coal, and Envy blocks. Those cozy fires at home. Hi, I'm Dan Wiles, owner of the Agway of Danvers. Now is the best time to be reseeding your lawn with Agway's grass seed and fall fertilizer. It's also a great time to decorate for Halloween. We're stocked with decorative corn stalks, straw, and white and orange pumpkins. Prepare your chicken coop for the winter. We have heated waterers, coop clean bedding, boredom busters, and more. Come see us in Waltham or at 9 Wenham Street in Danvers today.
Ever wonder why the Italians are so happy? You know, it's the food. Hi, Nick Yeba here, the owner of Teresa's Italian Eatery. I decided to create a place where you feel like part of that big Italian family. Dining over stories, great food, and lots of fine wine. Come to Teresa's Italian Eatery at 149 South Main Street, Route 114 in Middleton. Available for dine-in, takeout, and catering. Teresa's Italian Eatery, dine like one big Italian family.
Hi, this is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. Each week, I try to provide listeners with financial advice in a language you can understand. And much of my advice comes from real-life situations that happens in my office, Friedman Financial, each and every day. You see, at Friedman Financial, we help individuals and families create smart strategies for spending money in retirement. Our approach is committed to placing your interests first. And best of all, Friedman Financial is independent, and we're a fee-based financial planning and investment management firm. We're absolutely committed to helping you get your financial house in order. When you're ready to get serious about your financial planning needs, give us a call at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108, or on the web at friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, to E's and a D, financial.com.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
It's not about the money, money, money. We don't need your money, money, money. We just
want to. It's about the money. You know that. It is about the money most of the time. Look, we spend money, we use money, we need money. Now, how much of that money we need, that's all up to you. But we all know that we need some money and we need to use it appropriately. We need to be smart with it. We need to educate ourselves so that we're using it appropriately so we're not digging ourselves into debt, that we're making smart decisions. And if there's anything we need to do about money, we need to be sure that our kids are learning about it. Folks, that's not being taught in our schools. We need to take that responsibility and make sure that our kids are learning smart money strategies. And if you can, and I'm willing, just to let you know, I've always been willing to do this. I know schools are closed right now, or hybrid, but let me tell you, I would jump in a second and join a Zoom session with anybody, if you're a teacher, any of your classrooms, and give a money education session. I do it in North Andover. I go there when school's in session. But if you would like to leverage me to talk to your kids about making smart financial decisions, what it means to live in the real world and spend money, I'm here to talk to them. You want a guest speaker for your Zoom classroom? Use me. Reach out. I want to do this for you. No, I'm not going to sell Friedman Financial or anything like that. I want to help these kids. I want them to make smart decisions. Our phone number, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. That's my office phone number. And I know I kind of kicked into this second session a little bit differently. I didn't even introduce myself. For those of you that are just joining us, if you've been driving down Route 62 here in Beverly and you just say, who is this guy on the radio? My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts. I'm actually live in studio, in the Treetop Studios here at Beverly, sitting right across the North Beverly train station, which is one empty parking lot this morning. I don't even know, is there even a commuter rail that even runs anymore on Sundays? I don't know, but it is empty across the street. I don't know how many of you have headed into Salem this weekend. I know a lot of activities have been closed, but I don't think it stopped the cars from driving in that direction. I understand it was still pretty busy in Salem, Massachusetts, but I'm here in studio providing our listeners with financial advice in a language you can understand. And that's what we do here each and every Sunday from 8 to 9 a.m. I've been doing this for 8 years now. 8 years. Friedman Financial, my firm, which was actually started by my father in 1968, started right in Peabody, where we started serving the needs of individuals and families, trying to help them make smart decisions with their smart financial decisions with their money. And it's evolved. It's grown. But it's grown to continue to serve people like you, those that are listening to this radio show. Not the uber wealthy folks, but not those that are on are dealing with welfare issues either. This is the group of people that we serve that have cash, positive cash flow. That means there's more money coming into their house than there is going out of their house. They're able to save a little bit of money, put money towards their future. They know how important it is to plan, but sometimes they get stumped. Sometimes they get paralyzed. Sometimes they just get stuck and they just don't know what to do. And they turn to their friend, their neighbor, their parent, their relative, whomever it might be, and they take that advice, but they're not quite sure why they're taking the advice because the person that's giving the advice doesn't really understand their whole situation. Well, one of the things at Friedman Financial that we take great pride in is that we are what are called fiduciaries, which means it is our obligation to place your interests first. What does that mean? What does that mean to place your interests first? It means that before any money decision is made, a piece of advice regarding money, it means that I need to understand everything about your financial situation. Not just what you want to tell me, but we have to understand it all. Because if you only share a part of it, if you only share a part of your financial situation, how can I make sure that the advice you're wanting for this other item really aligns with everything? I want you to be successful, and you will be successful. Look, we've been doing this for 52 years. Like I said, Dad started this firm in 1968. I joined the firm in 1991, and in 2000, Marion Gilman, who you've heard here on the radio. In fact, she was on last week with Christian Karcher. She joined us in 2000, and Dad then retired in 2007. I took over the firm. Marion then became a partner in 2010, and now Marion and I run the show. And, hey, I want to give a shout-out to Marion and Christian for filling in for me last week, because I was away on vacation, and they did one great job. I got a call from somebody in the office. Actually, it was a client of ours who called up, and he said, wow, this guy Christian's really grown over 3 years. Christian's been with me for 3 years, and he was tremendous on the radio. They just loved him. They just said he was just such a natural and so comfortable. They said, how many hours did you have to practice with him and getting the messaging right? And folks, I got to let you in on a little secret. The prep work is usually about an hour before the show for them. For me, I usually just walk in here. It's like I was telling Biff, our producer, that we were talking about what we're going to talk about today on the radio. And I said, as I'm driving here to the studio, I'm thinking to myself, oh, man, I never thought about what I'm going to talk about. I'm just going to the studio. And so if I seem a little discombobulated or rambling on one point or another, that's because there are no notes here, folks. We are flying by the seat of our pants. And it occurred to me as I'm talking to you that I made you a promise in the last segment, at the end of the last segment, that we were going to talk about the coronavirus and how it's impacting all these other countries. So let me promise, and I'm going to get to that right now. So here's something that's really interesting. You know, you watched this debate this past Thursday. You heard from President Trump talking about we're rounding the corner. Things are getting better. We've got vaccines and treatments ready. We're getting closer to the end. You got Joe Biden talking about, no, President Trump, you don't have a plan. We are heading into our darkest days. There is far from around the corner. We got a long way to go on this. So, you know, look, each of them is making some interesting points. Of course, you need to dig deeper into each of those statements. Those are sound bites. Those are messages to get you to react one way or the other. What does all this mean? Well, I tried to put some of these numbers into context, because if you watched, I don't care what news station you watch, whether it's CNN, MSNBC, Fox News, BBC, whatever, you probably heard that yesterday there was 84,000 new cases of coronavirus. 84,000 of new cases of coronavirus here in America. That's a big number, right? Well, do you know how many tests they did yesterday? Do you know how many tests were done yesterday to come up with that 84,000 number? 1.2 million tests were done yesterday. So you do the math. Yes, 84,000, big number, big, big number. But 1.2 million tests were done yesterday. Now, I'm not trying to diminish this. We have to wear our masks. We have to wash our hands. We have to watch our surroundings, as Joanne McGinnis from Caring Voice and Aberdeen Home Healthcare has just drilled into my head. And I love hanging out with Joanne and talk. Well, we don't hang out. We talk on the phone. We Zoom a bit. But, you know, the three W's, wear your mask, wash your hands, watch your surroundings. But, folks, a lot of us are doing our parts. But there were 84,000 new cases and 1.2 million tests. By the way, back in May when we had 20 and 30,000 new cases, do you know we were doing 400,000 tests a day? You do the math, folks. It's a big number, but we are doing better. We are turning a corner here. Now, could it jump up? Could we see the spikes? Absolutely, because here's what's really interesting. We have 340 million people in America. 340 million people in America. And right now, we just had 84,000 new cases. Well, let me put something into perspective for you. I get this report twice a week, and I'm happy to share this COVID dashboard that I get. I'm happy to share it all with you. All you need to do, by the way, give my office a call, 978-531-8108, 978-531-8108, or drop me an email, Mark, M-A-R-C, at friedmanfinancial.com. That's Mark, M-A-R-C, at friedmanfinancial.com. That's too easy to D, financial.com. And I will send you this COVID dashboard, because this is what's really interesting. Did you know that this past week, just 2 days ago, Germany had 14,000 new cases? You got 14,000. That's not so bad. 14,000. We had 84,000 here in America. Folks, we have 340 million people in America. There are 33 million people in Germany. Oh, hold on. France also has 33 million people in their country, 40,000 cases yesterday. The United Kingdom, roughly 40 million people in the United Kingdom, 20,000 new cases yesterday. Spain, roughly 30 million people in their country, 30,000 new cases yesterday. Italy, and get Italy. I'm not quite sure what they're not. I don't have the population number in front of me, so I'm not going to make that up. But remember when Italy, back in March and April, they were taking over ice skating rinks to create morgues for people who were dying. It was just rampant there. They were having 6,000 new cases a day in March and April. Today, they have 16,000 new cases. Now, remember something. Just because someone is COVID positive is not a death sentence. Here's an interesting fact. My son, Jerry, who is in at the University of Miami, he's in a fraternity house, AE Pi. There are 13 guys that live in the fraternity house. 11 of the 13 guys tested positive. 11 of the 13 guys. They had a party at their house. I found out from my son, Jerry. They had a party at their place with 30 people were in attendance in the backyard of their fraternity house. 11 people in the fraternity tested positive. This is a week and a half ago. Jerry tested negative. The other guy in the fraternity house tested negative. But because of this, the kids have had to get tested every 2 days. All of them in the house have to get tested 2 days. So remember, that's the same 11 kids showing a positive number every 2 days because they're being tested so regularly. Jerry, interestingly, has still tested negative. So how did they handle this for the 14 days? Well, they were all living in the same house. They imposed a reverse quarantine. Jerry, my son, and this other kid in the fraternity house were quarantined to their rooms while all the positive cases had run of the house. And none of them showed any symptoms whatsoever. They're carriers, and we need to restrict this. But folks, just because these positive numbers are coming through, and a lot of these positive numbers, frankly, are coming from college-aged kids, because they're being irresponsible. No question about it, they're being irresponsible. But these are not death sentences for them either. We have learned so much about this disease. We've learned how to manage it, how to minimize it. We've learned how to treat it. Now, of course, there are other people that will get ill from this disease. And it's terrible. And no, we should not have any deaths from anything like this. But we're going to continue to have them. We're going to continue to see people that are positive with this disease. But we are also about, I believe, to turn a corner. And that's because we have some amazing medical and pharmaceutical and biological companies here in this country that are coming up with vaccines, that are coming up with treatments. And so it doesn't matter whether Joe Biden or Donald Trump wins this election, because chances are by the time the spring comes around, we will have a vaccine that's in play, treatments that are in play. And should the president, whomever it is in March and April, claim victory of solving the problem of COVID? I don't think so. I think the person that deserves that victory are the pharmaceutical companies that have stepped up and have worked tireless hours, and the FDA that will work hard to make sure that these treatments are successful and we're dealing with them appropriately. We need to recognize that our lives need to continue, but we need to be responsible. That's important because, folks, when you compare what we're doing compared to what other developed countries, France, Germany, the United Kingdom, Spain, Italy, what they're doing, folks, we are miles ahead of where they are. But frankly, no one wants to talk about it. All people want to talk about is politics. And that's not right, folks. We need to just work our part. We need to wear our masks, wash our hands, and watch our surroundings. And we, as Americans, will survive this no matter what happens. Well, most of us will. I hope 99.9% of us will survive it. Yes, there will unfortunately be some deaths. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Before we do this, I want to remind you again of our newsletter. It's called Planning Pointers. It lands in your mailbox every Friday. 10:30 in the morning. Go to my website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Go to the bottom of any page, put in your name, your email address, and boom, you will get our newsletter starting this upcoming Friday. All right, we'll take a quick break. When we get back, more financial advice in a language you can understand. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table.
It's Paul from Gentilly Brewing reminding you to support your local brewery this fall. Stop by our tap room at 59 Park Street in Beverly for a pint and beer to go. Join us on the dock where our outside table seating is reminiscent of a European cafe. October dock hours are Thursdays and Fridays, 5 to 9 p.m. and Saturdays, 2 to 8 p.m. You can also order growlers, cans, and merchandise for pickup on our website or place walk-in orders at the brewery during dock hours. For more info or to place your order, please visit gentillybrewing.com. GentilleBrewing.com.
Are you looking for a quiet, clean, and conveniently located property for your out-of-town guests for an overnight stay or longer? Or perhaps your out-of-town business clients will enjoy walking instead of driving to a variety of dining establishments and shops? Beverly Garden Suites is steps away from the commuter rail to Boston. If location is a priority, Beverly Garden Suites cannot be beat. Beverly Garden Suites is locally owned and operated with full kitchens and free wireless access throughout.
Visit BeverlyGardenSuites.com.
Get ready for the colder weather with Agway of Danvers. We're stocked and deliver seasoned firewood with four types of wood pellets, coal, and Embry blocks. Those cozy fires at home. Hi, I'm Dan Wiles, owner of the Agway of Danvers. Now is the best time to be reseeding your lawn with Agway's grass seed and fall fertilizer. It's also a great time to decorate for Halloween. We're stocked with decorative cornstalk, straw, and white and orange pumpkins. Prepare your chicken coop for the winter. We have heated waterers, coop clean bedding, boredom busters, and more. Come see us in Waltham or at 9 Wenham Street in Danvers today.
Hi, this is Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial. For more than 50 years, we've been providing individuals and families on the North Shore and Merrimack Valley with financial advice in a language you can understand. As each of us struggle to find answers in this uncertain environment, we're continuing to communicate with our clients in a variety of ways. Our weekly newsletter, our video town hall, our client teleconferences, and periodic phone calls continue to offer ways to address clients' questions despite remaining physically distant. If you're feeling alone and searching for rational advice during these emotional times, perhaps Friedman Financial can provide the comfort that you need. Give us a call at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or visit us at FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Friedman Financial, financial advice in a language you can understand.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
Money, 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 money.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. We are live in Studio A at the Treetop Studios here of North Shore 104.9, right in Beverly. Yeah, that's right. I'm live today. It's really, really strange being in the studio. I haven't been here since March, and they let me in the door. Now, if you walk into the studio here, it looks like it's a crime scene. There is yellow tape everywhere. I mean, you are very limited with where you can walk here. They have been exceptionally careful in making sure this place is clean, scrubbed. You should see the hazmat suit that Biff has to wear here on Sunday to be the producer, just to keep everybody safe. So it is a nice job. So Biff, congratulations. Nice job with the sanitation and everything. So my name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right across the street from the North Shore Mall and just above, I used to say Alto Forno Restaurant, but that is no more. It will be Daniela's Restaurant, soon to be opening in the next couple weeks. Folks, I am so excited. You should see what they have done downstairs. They've done a total facelift of the place. Still has the bones, of course, of what Alto Forno has. Dan and Daniela Mamola have built this kind of an outdoor patio that's all closed in. So it's kind of a three-season porch, gives even more space for them to do some of the great stuff that they do at that restaurant. I can't wait for the restaurant to open. I assure you, I will be one of the first people dining there. And next week, I'm delighted to say that Daniela Mamola, has agreed to be my guest on this radio show. She'll do one of the segments here, and we will talk about all the exciting stuff that's coming to Daniela's restaurant. My office is right above it. I get to smell the food every day. I get to just see all the great things that are going on there, and it's my absolute pleasure to be part of the experience that goes on over at 41 Cross Street. Anyways, I wanted to first thank so many people who swung by our office parking lot yesterday. We had our shredding event. We do it every year. Last year, for whatever reason, I don't know what happened, but we weren't able to do it. So we had booked this event almost 2 years in advance. And so Saturday was the date, and we thought, oh my goodness, through this whole COVID experience, can we still do a shredding event? That means people would pull up, they bring their shredding, we'd throw it into this enormous truck that is very loud when the shredding happens. It sucks all of your documents up. You can watch it on a video screen. You can watch all your documents get shredded. And then normally what we would do is we would have a tent set up, we'd have breakfast, we'd have entertainment. But this year, of course, we couldn't do a lot of that stuff. We could still bring the truck. And it was, I got to tell you, the most efficient shredding experience I've ever had. So what happened was the truck was set up out at 41 Cross Street. People would pull in, they'd pop their trunk. The guy from the shredding company would come around, empty the boxes of papers that you have into this big barrel. Then you'd watch him bring it over to the truck. It would, the barrel would get sucked up into the truck, flipped over, shredded. And while all that's happening, and this is all happening in roughly 60 seconds, we gave $5 gift cards to everybody that came to Dunkin' Donuts because we felt bad. I can't even provide you coffee, so we figured we'd buy coffee for you. We chatted for maybe a minute, and you were gone. And people just came through. I don't know how many thousands of pounds of paper. Some people came with pickup trucks full of paper. It was great. Frankly, it was so nice to see people. Yes, we all had masks on. Yes, we all had to be socially distanced. We all had to manage everything properly. It was just a remarkable event. And next year when we do it, and we will do it again next year, I'll be sure to let all of our listeners know about it again. So I wanted to talk to you. Last week, as you well know, Marion and Christian ran our show. They sat in for me because, you know what? I went on vacation. Yeah, so I wanted to talk to you a little bit about this because when I've told people that I went on vacation, there's been a lot of questions from folks. As many of you know, Laura, my wife, and I run the booth at the Topsfield Fair. But, of course, the Topsfield Fair didn't happen this year. And so we said, you know what? Instead of doing the Topsfield Fair, we're going to go away on vacation. And so where did we go? No, we didn't go to New Hampshire. No, we didn't drive to New York. We went to Turks and Caicos. Yep, we went to the Caribbean. That means, yeah, I had to get on an airplane. Yeah, I had to bring a passport and go to another country. And we wanted to see, well, look, the cases in Turks and Caicos were minimal. And we wanted to see what would happen. So let me walk you through my experience of what happened on an airplane. Because, folks, I will tell you this. If you're thinking, even remotely thinking about traveling somewhere or flying somewhere, book your flights. Flights are dirt cheap. And what's beautiful about this is all the airlines have agreed, if for whatever reason you feel uncomfortable about flying as the date grows closer, cancel. You'll get your money back. It's that simple. So why not take advantage of the low prices? Because I assure you, once people are going to get more comfortable with flying, oh boy, our prices going up. Prices are going up because these airlines have to recoup some of this money. So here was the deal. We flew round trip to Turks and Caicos for just about $400 a person, round trip. Now, from Boston, JetBlue normally flies Boston to Turks and Caicos. In fact, they're restarting up that route starting next week, November 1st. But they weren't flying that route right now. So we had to fly through Charlotte on the way down, and we flew through Miami on the way back. So my flight was something like 7:30 in the morning. This is a week and a half ago. And we get to the airport, and the airport is relatively empty. Plenty of people working in the airport, but it's 7 o'clock in the morning. Or actually 6 o'clock, because I think our flight was at 7. We get through security without any problem. It's just the normal protocol. Of course, people are wearing masks. Everybody has a mask on. There are sanitation stations all over the place for you to spray your hands, use whatever you want. But when you start walking into the place, very few of the restaurants and shops are open. You've got maybe there's a Dunkin' Donuts. Maybe there's a Potbelly or something like that that's open, and that's it. That's all that's open. Stores are closed, and we get to the gate. You go to check in, and we start heading towards our gate, and most of these gates are just dead empty. I get to the gate for Charlotte, and it is standing room only. I thought the flight was going to be empty or pretty light, but oh no. This flight to Charlotte must have been a pretty popular flight. So we begin to get on the plane, and I realize that this idea that you've heard about with middle seats being empty, oh, no, 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 no. And I flew American Airlines. But the experience was still great. We go walking down the jetway. We're greeted by the flight attendant who hands us a plastic bag. The plastic bag is a Ziploc, probably a quart-sized bag. And in it is a bottled water, some type of a biscotti cookie, and a handy wipe that we can use to wipe down our table, our chair, whatever we want, our seat. We sit down. Everybody has a mask on. They go through all the protocols. Before they take off, they go make sure everybody has a mask on. The flight attendants explain that masks are required for the entire flight, that there is no beverage service. They won't be coming up and down the aisles. When you want to eat with using the water, the snacks, or whatever you might have bought or brought with you, you can remove your mask while you're eating, but they encourage you to, but you must wear your mask when you're not eating. The plane that I traveled on from Boston to Charlotte, and sometimes the American Airlines flights are just, ugh, they're just awful old planes. I think they brought out the state-of-the-art brand new plane. It had a hookup where I could put my iPad, latch it onto my table. It was brand new, everything inside. And I learned that's because they have the best air filtration systems. I've heard from the CEOs of airplanes, of the airlines, saying that the air we breathe in an airplane is better than the air we're breathing as we go out into our own backyard. So the airline experience, hopping on that plane, heading down to Charlotte, was extraordinarily good. I felt extraordinarily safe. And then we got off the airplane and we walked down the jetway heading into the Charlotte airport. And what's next will be shared with you when we get back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Ever wonder why the Italians are so happy? You know, it's the food. Hi, Nick Yeba here, the owner of Teresa's Italian Eatery. I decided to create a place where you feel like part of that big Italian family. Dining over stories, great food, and lots of fine wine. Come to Teresa's Italian Eatery at 149 South Main Street, Route 114 in Middleton. Available for dine-in, takeout, and catering. Teresa's Italian Eatery, dine like one big Italian family.
It's Paul from Gentilly Brewing reminding you to support your local brewery this fall. Stop by our tap room at 59 Park Street in Beverly for a pint and beer to go. Join us on the dock where our outside table seating is reminiscent of a European cafe. October dock hours are Thursdays and Fridays, 5 to 9 p.m. and Saturdays, 2 to 8 p.m. You can also order growlers, cans, and merchandise for pickup on our website or place walk-in orders at the brewery during dock hours. For more info or to place your order, please visit gentillybrewing.com. G-E-N-T-I-L-E, brewing.com.
Are you looking for a quiet, clean, and conveniently located property for your out-of-town guests for an overnight stay or longer? Or perhaps your out-of-town business clients will enjoy walking instead of driving to a variety of dining establishments and shops. Beverly Garden Suites is steps away from the commuter rail to Boston. If location is a priority, Beverly Garden Suites cannot be beat. Beverly Garden Suites is locally owned and operated with full kitchens and free wireless access throughout.
Visit BeverlyGardenSuites.com.
Hi, this is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. Each week, I try to provide listeners with financial advice in a language you can understand.
And much of my advice comes from real-life situations that happens in my office, Friedman Financial, each and every day. You see, at Friedman Financial, we help individuals and families create smart strategies for spending money in retirement. Our approach is committed to placing your interests first. And best of all, Friedman Financial is independent, and we're a fee-based financial planning and investment management firm. We're absolutely committed to helping you get your financial house in order. When you're ready to get serious about your financial planning needs, give us a call at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or on the web at FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
It's not about the money, money, money. We don't need your money, money, money.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located at 41 Cross Street, right across the street from the North Shore Mall and just above the soon-to-be-opening Daniela's Restaurant. We've been providing financial planning and investment management advice to individuals and families all around the North Shore, the Merrimack Valley, and the southern New Hampshire area since 1968. If now's the time for you to get serious about your financial planning and investment management needs, I hope you'll give us a call, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. When I last left you, I was telling everybody about the vacation, yes, vacation that I went on 2 weeks ago. That's why you heard Christian and Marion on the show this past Sunday. Laura and I and my daughter Mindy went to Turks and Caicos. And everybody's been asking, well, what was the airplane experience like? What was it like on the islands? So in the earlier segment, I explained about the experience we had going from Logan Airport to Charlotte. We flew on American Airlines, and it was a great experience. If you want to listen to the early segment, you can pick up our podcasts. They're all available at the North Shore 104.9 website, or you can find it on iTunes as well. So now we arrive at the Charlotte airport. We walk down the jetway. It's, I don't know, around 10 o'clock. And the place is mobbed. It is not, by all means, not a ghost town. This is one hopping airport. It was not what I was expecting. But everybody was in masks. Everybody was appropriately distancing when they needed to, even the lineup. You know how everybody kind of clusters and gathers when you're ready to get on a plane? Everyone just kind of like maneuvers to see who's going to be on there first. People socially distanced at the airport waiting to get on the line. They socially distanced on the jetway. It was fine. It really was. Now, more and more restaurants and shops were opened at in Charlotte as we approached, you know, the 10 o'clock, the 11 o'clock hour. But still, maybe only about half of them were open. But all of the airports that I went to, whether it was Miami or Charlotte or Boston, they all have these mobile app options so that you don't have to stand in line anywhere. You can, of course, just like you do at a Starbucks or whatever, you can order your food, pick it up at the mobile pickup spot. And everything worked efficiently. Everything was great. There was clearly more people around working for the airlines or the airport that had sanitation stations around. They, you know, reminders to wash your hands, to be vigilant. There were more people in the bathrooms washing the bathrooms on an ongoing basis. Folks, I felt very, very safe. So now I'm about to now prepare to board my flight from Charlotte to Turks and Caicos. Now, you need to understand, because we're going to Turks and Caicos, I'm going to a different country. I need a passport. And Turks and Caicos had a requirement, and you needed to do this 5 days in advance of traveling there. You were required to have done a PCR test. That's that one where they stick the Q-tip up your nose and have a negative COVID test and proof of that negative COVID test. And you have to upload it and submit it to the Turks and Caicos government, where you would then be granted a kind of a letter that they give you with a QR code that says you are approved to travel into our country. And so we had to go through those protocols. Every time someone looked at a piece of paper, they would wash our hands again. They would spray our hands with some spray bottle to keep everything sanitized. So we now hop on the plane from Charlotte to Turks and Caicos. It's a much smaller plane. I don't know, maybe there was seating for 100 or so, and it was probably 30% full. So plenty of room to spread out. They didn't even hand you a bottle of water. So we didn't bring anything with us. There was not much to do there. But the plane had the functionality of being able to watch movies, all that kind of stuff. Great. We land in Turks and Caicos. Now, when you land there, there were two other airplanes at the airport. Now, it's a small airport, of course. Our airport, our airplane pulls in. They pull up the stairs because you have to walk off the stairs. There is no jetway. And as we get to the bottom of the stairs, there is two people there. One who has a temperature gun, and they flash it at our head to make sure our temperature's okay. They also then spray our hands, and we wash our hands. So we then head and follow the walkway into the customs and the entry area. As we approach that entry, there's a guy that's playing, I don't know, the guitar, and he's singing some calypso music, and there are a whole swarm of people there taking your temperature again and washing your hands. Now you go in, and they have that snaking that you'll stand in to go through customs, right? And there's socially distanced spots all along the way. Everybody has a mask. There were people going up and down the aisles. For those that like to not cover their nose but just cover their mouth with the mask, they would go around and tell you, sir, you need to raise your mask. You need to cover your nose. Very, very careful. We get to the entry point. Before we go up to the customs official, we have to wash our hands again and have our temperature taken. So, and they have this all expression of how they want you to have your passport lined up, all of your entry papers all lined up. You then go one at a time behind the plexiglass shield. Everything goes through. Wonderful. You get now to your where your luggage is before you're able to pick up your luggage. They want to wash your hands again. They spray your hands. Now we get our luggage. We get into a taxi and head off to the hotel. Taxi driver's wearing a mask. We must wear a mask. Get to the hotel. We arrive at the hotel, and I stayed at the Seven Stars Hotel in Turks and Caicos. It was a resort that was there. You arrive in your taxi. There is a security officer in front of the gates, and he takes the taxi driver's temperature. He takes Laura's, mine, and Mindy's temperature, sprays all of our hands, asks for our passport. We now go in to the resort. We get to the front desk where we check in. They take our temperature again, spray our hands. We're all wearing masks. Now we're checked in. They know we're COVID negative. They take us on a tour of the resort. And as we're taking a tour of the resort, the woman who's walking us through the resort, who is wearing a mask, says, "You may remove your mask." That's right. You may remove your mask. She says, "You are now at home. This is your house. You don't wear a mask in your house. You need not wear a mask in the hotel, in the hallways, in the restaurants, at the pool, or at the beach. You are COVID negative." And everybody else, the staff there has to wear masks, but we needed to wear a mask. So now, once we leave the resort, let's say we want to go to a restaurant. We head off to a restaurant. We arrive at the restaurant, they take our temperature, they wash our hands, we must wear a mask until we get to our seat, then we can remove our mask. Makes sense, just like what we have here. You want to go shopping, you want to go to a jewelry store, you want to go to a convenience store, a supermarket. Those doors are locked. You can't just walk in. There is a doorman at every door on the inside who unlocks the door for you, takes your temperatures, washes your hands, and then allows you in, then relocks the door. Folks, they've got this thing down to a system. It worked great. I felt very, very safe on the islands. We then depart. Same protocol on the way out. We go from Turks and Caicos to Miami. We arrive in Miami. Man, that place was busy. Now, we have a TSA report that I've just got. If you want some of these economic activity reports, happy to send them to you as well. TSA is now showing close to 50% return to business. Look, it was down 90%. Now they're only off about 50%. So it is getting busier there. We board our plane in Miami, the flight in Miami, heading back to Boston, probably 90% full. And it was a good-sized plane. And we're sitting there. They hand up the bag with the water, the cookie, the wipes. We're all sitting there. Plane is brand spanking new. You got plugs. You got everything. Brand new planes. So here's what happens. So we fly. We're up in the air about an hour. And there's Laura, myself, and Mindy. We're on one side, and there's this other three people sitting to the right of us. One guy is watching a movie with a mask around his lips, and his girlfriend, who's sitting next to him, decides to take her mask off. She doesn't want to wear a mask on the plane. Now, it's making my daughter very uncomfortable, but I'm not about to turn to the guy and say, excuse me, would you mind putting your mask on? I'm not going to create that kind of a mess. But she's just sitting there. Now, remember, you can eat without a mask on. We didn't say anything. I should have. But I turn around and there's two people sitting in the three seats behind us. Only there's a, you know, there was only two that was in that seat. Apparently, they decided that they weren't going to wear a mask once we were in the air. They decided to make out the whole trip home. I guess they figured that that was masking between the two of them. So, folks, I do think air travel is safe. I think vacationing is safe. I think you should get out there. If you want to spend some money, do it, because the airlines, the hotels are giving you all of the ability to get to break away from it if you feel uncomfortable. But that's some financial advice in a language you can understand. And we'll be back next Sunday with more of it. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Thanks for tuning into Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. During the show, specific investments may have been discussed. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Please consult a certified financial planner, tax professional, or attorney to determine what is appropriate for you. Consider your investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of an investment company before investing. That's because investing involves risk, including a loss of principal. A prospectus contains this and other information about mutual funds, variable annuities, and variable annuity subaccounts. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making an investment. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment and financial planning advice is offered through Mark's firm, Friedman Financial, which is a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next Sunday.